with your bad self.
Say it loud.
Hey.
I'm black and I'm proud.
Yeah, what?
I'm black and I'm proud.
Hey. Okay, okay, hold on. Wait, stop. Okay. Yeah, I'm going to stop playing that, you know, because I don't want to get copywritten. I don't want to get flagged for copyright. Boom. There's the words. English. What's up, everyone? Welcome to episode 4. If you couldn't tell, based off of the song that I was playing, kind of the vibe and the feeling that I'm in, well, it's officially Black History Month, where every February we honor the contributions and sacrifices of African Americans who played an important role in the nation and focus on the past, present, and future of Black history. So each week up here, we're going to take time to explore the different areas of Black history, notable figures as they relate to each topic, and hopefully learn some things we either didn't know or may have forgotten. So for today's episode, I want to explore the history of this month, Black History Month, the importance and overall impact of Black history as well. Now, while we may all know about this month at face value, as the name suggests, how many of us actually know how we got here? Well, allow me to tell you. Did you know that before there was a Black History Month, there was Negro History Week? But who founded Negro History Week? None other than the father of Black history himself, Carter G. Woodson. Does that name sound familiar to you? Well, if not, here's a little bit about him. Carter G. Woodson was born in 1875 and was the son of former slaves. He helped out on his family farm as a boy and worked in the coal mines of West Virginia as a teen. He was hungry for education and self-taught. And when I say self-taught, I mean he was smart. He mastered common school subjects at the age of 17, and he went to high school at the age of 20 and completed his diploma, guess this, in less than 2 years. He's a smart man. He worked as a teacher and principal before he obtained his bachelor's degree in literature from Berea College in Kentucky. And, there's always an and, he became the second African American to receive a PhD from Harvard in 1912. Working beside formerly enslaved men before going to high school, who were themselves illiterate, and relied on Woodson to read to them, made him realize that Black people carried important knowledge from their experiences and deserved to be taken seriously. So, in 1915, he created the ASNLH, known as the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History. He created it in Chicago. And that very next year, he started the scholarly Journal of Negro History, which is now published as the Journal of African American History. He hoped to raise awareness of African Americans' contributions to civilization through the ASNLH and conceived Negro History Week in 1925. Which was first celebrated on the second week of February in 1926. Now, why was that week chosen, you may ask? Why the second week of February? Do you know whose birthdays it coincides with? It coincides with Abraham Lincoln and Frederick Douglass's birthdays. Now, why them? Well, because Lincoln was influential in the emancipation of slaves, and Douglass was a former slave himself and prominent leader of the abolitionist movement, which fought to end slavery. So this time traditionally was a time when African Americans would hold celebrations in honor of emancipation. And according to the Association for the Study of Negro Life and History, which is now known as the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, Carter G. Woodson created Negro History Week as a way to, quote, commemorate the Black past, end quote. Woodson died in 1950 from a heart attack at the age of 74. But by the time of his death, mayors of cities across the country began issuing yearly proclamations to recognize Negro History Week, making it a central part of African American life, and made progress in bringing more Americans to appreciate the celebration. Now, the Black Awakening of 1960 grew awareness of Black identity and the importance of Black history in African Americans, while the Civil Rights Movement in the late 60s focused on Americans of all colors on the subject and contributions of African Americans in history and culture. So thanks to this, Negro History Week evolved into Black History Month on many college campuses by the late 60s. Kent State University was one of the first to propose the idea and hold commemorations. Now, in 1976, President Gerald Ford officially recognized Black History Month, calling upon Americans to, quote, seize the opportunity to honor the too often neglected accomplishments of Black Americans in every endeavor throughout our history, end quote. A move that came 50 years after the first celebrations. And 40 years after that, the first Black president, Barack Obama, delivered a message of his own from the slave-built White House. And in that message, he said, and I quote, Black History Month shouldn't be treated as though it's somehow separate from our collective American history, or somehow just boiled down to a compilation of greatest hits from the March on Washington or from some of our sports heroes. It's about the lived, shared experience of all African Americans, high and low, famous and obscure, and how those experiences have shaped and challenged and ultimately strengthened America, end quote. Now, since Gerald Ford's recognition of Black History Month, every American president, Republican and Democrat, has designated February as Black History Month and endorsed a specific theme for each month. Now, the new theme is designated for Black History Month each year by the Association for the Study of African American Life and History, the ASALH. This is keeping with the practice that Carter G. Woodson established for Negro History Week. Now, some of the themes in recent years, for those who don't know, or even for the ones who do, so recap. In 2018, the theme was African Americans in Times of War. In 2019, Black Migrations. In 2020, to go along with the year of presidential election, the theme was African Americans and the Vote. And last year's theme was the Black Family, Representation, Identity, and Diversity. This year's theme, can anyone guess it? Black Health and Wellness, which focuses on the importance of Black health and wellness. And according to the ASALH, this theme acknowledges the legacy of not only Black scholars and medical practitioners in Western medicine, but it also acknowledges other ways of knowing throughout the African diaspora. Now, for example, birth workers, doulas, midwives, naturopaths, herbalists, etc. So the 2022 theme considers activities, rituals, and initiatives that Black communities have done to maintain wellness. So how'd you feel about that little bit of history lesson there for about Black History Month? Hope you learned something from that point. But we're not done, because there's more that I want to cover as it relates to Black History Month, and specifically the colors. So how many of you can say that you know the exact colors that are used for Black History Month or represent Black History Month, and can name them off the top of your head like that? Well, if you can't, no worries. No worries. Because we're going to learn about them right now. So the Black History Month colors are red, black, green, and yellow. They coincide with the colors on the Pan-African and Ethiopian flag. Now you may be wondering, what is Pan-African? Why is there a flag? How does Ethiopia relate? What do the colors mean? Why are they used? And when were these colors even established? Well, guess what? We're going to answer all of those questions. So make sure you're paying attention, because there's also quite a bit of history that goes along with this. So to start, Pan-Africanism, in general, simple terms, is the idea or sentiment that people of African descent have a great deal in common, have common interests, and should be unified, which has often taken the shape of a political or cultural movement. Pan-Africans envision a unified African nation where all people of the African diaspora can live. Now, you heard me mention or reference the African diaspora a few minutes ago. So for those who don't know what that means, this refers to the long-term historical process by which people of African descent have been scattered from their ancestral homeland to other parts of the world. African diaspora. Now, the Pan-African flag was created in 1920 by the Universal Negro Improvement Association, UNIA. Marcus Garvey was the leader of the UNIA and spearheaded the creation of the Pan-African flag, which is also known as the UNIA flag or the Marcus Garvey flag or the Afro-American flag and the Black Liberation flag. Now, so that we can talk and give a little context to go along with that, Marcus Garvey, the leader of the UNIA, was a Jamaican-born Black nationalist and leader of the Pan-Africanism movement. He was a noted civil rights activist who founded the Negro World newspaper, a shipping company called Black Star Line, and, as I previously stated, he founded the Universal Negro Improvement Association. Now, the UNIA was dedicated to racial pride, economic self-sufficiency, and advocated for separate but equal status of persons of African-American ancestry, and sought to establish independent Black states around the world, notably in Liberia and on the west coast of Africa. Now, Marcus Garvey founded the UNIA not in America, not in Africa, but in Jamaica in 1914. But its main influence was felt in principal urban Black neighborhoods in the U.S. after his arrival to Harlem, New York City in 1916. Marcus Garvey had strong appeal to poor Blacks in urban ghettos, but most Black leaders in the United States criticized him as an imposter. Why'd they do this? Particularly because he announced in New York City the founding of the Empire of Africa with himself as the provisional president. Thus, there was a lot of back and forth with him and the NAACP, some falling outs, some this, that, and the other drama. Basically, the NAACP denounced him and vice versa. He denounced them. As he saw them and many black leaders as really only seeking assimilation into white society. So, yeah, there's that. So back to the flag. Garvey and the UNIA created the flag in response to the Coon Song, a late 19th century trend of songs that mocked and belittled African Americans and African American vernacular English because whites did not consider us as full citizens. The song was titled "Every Race Has a Flag But the Coon." Yeah, you heard that correctly. And I was going to say surprisingly, but not surprisingly, it became a hit around 1900. So I'm just going to, I'm not going to play the whole thing, but here's just this couple seconds so you can kind of get the understanding of where their minds were with this song. And what won't you- So, yeah, that. Now, that's all I'm giving on that because it's really not worth it outside of the point of this. But that song, in fact, is cited as one of three songs that firmly established the term coon in American vocabulary. So, in response to that mess, Marcus Garvey was quoted in the Negro World Weekly newspaper from a speech in 1921, where he said, and I quote, "Show me the race or the nation without a flag, and I will show you a race of people without any pride. A, but in song and mimicry, they have said, every race has a flag but the coon. How true? A, but that was said of us 4 years ago. They can't say it now." End quote. The flag helped people of color identify themselves in the global political arena and demanded respect for their race. It symbolizes the, quote, "colored people's achievement aspirations and resistance to oppression in the global political arena." So now back to the colors of the flag. The colors and their meanings are as follows. Red, which stands for bloodshed in the fight of freedom from slavery, racism, and colonialism. Black, which signifies the African's noble skin color. And green, which symbolizes the luxuriant vegetation and other expensive natural resources of our motherland. Now, these three colors are the colors of the Pan-African flag. The flag of Ethiopia, as I stated before, remember, we're all looping this back around. The flag of Ethiopia inspired the second set of Black History Month colors, which are yellow, red, and green. Now, why Ethiopia? Here's a little fact. Ethiopia was the only African country that was never colonized because the natives were just too powerful for the Europeans. So the yellow color symbolizes justice, hope, and equality, and it also symbolizes the sun. All in all, these colors are used as the colors for Black History Month. Yellow, red, green, and black. Pretty interesting, right? Now, if only it could be taught like that to some degree in school. But unfortunately, there's the current issue of critical race theory, and we're not going to get into that in this episode because there's going to be one about that. It's the one about education that's to come. So to close this all off, let's just wrap it up with Marcus Garvey's story for those who are maybe wondering what happened to him. Well, in 1922, his leadership was cut short when he was arrested and convicted of fraud in the handling of funds for the establishment of the Black Star Line, which the purpose of the Black Star Line was to provide transportation to Africa. He was sent to prison, then later deported to Jamaica. He moved to London in 1935, where he died and his body was returned to Jamaica. His body was returned, and he was later declared the country's first national hero. The UNIA never revived, but their influence did stick around and was the forerunner for Black nationalism after World War II. So on that note, I'll leave you off with this. Hopefully you learned more about Black History Month, or just reaffirm some things that you may have already known. On your way out, tell a friend to tell a friend to tell a friend to check out this episode and the others that are coming throughout the month. So with that being said, check back for the next episode as we talk about Black entertainment throughout movies, music, and TV. The cultural impacts and key players that helped shape Black entertainment as we know it. So I'll catch you next time. And as James Brown said,
say it loud, I'm Black and I'm proud.
Bye.